Hello and welcome to our live telephone town hall meeting. Thank you for being on, folks. We appreciate you joining us early. We're dialing out to thousands of folks in Pennsylvania House District 72. We've got your representative, Frank Burns, live on the line to answer your questions. Now, we're going to cover a lot of ground tonight, but it's going to be you that helps us do it. We're going to want you to ask questions. So if you have any questions that you'd like to ask of your state representative, now is the time, and all you have to do is push zero on your phone, and we'll get you up live to ask that question, and we'll have your representative answer it for you. We'll also run some survey questions. You'll be able to vote on those using your touch-tone phone, and we welcome that feedback as well. So this is really all about you and what you'd like to ask of your state representative. So again, for those of you just joining us, this is a live telephone town hall meeting with Representative Frank Burns representing you there in House District 72. We're going to want to take as many questions as we can from you. We've already got some that we've gotten in via email, and we'll use those as conversation starters. But what we're really looking to do is take your questions on issues like reducing property taxes, spending, jobs bill, Buy American, the E-Verify to stop illegals working in Pennsylvania. And we'd love to take all of those questions from our live audience. So if you have any questions on those topics or anything else that is really important to you, we have your state representative on the line to answer your questions. And again, you can just push zero to get in with that question live. I'm going to repeat this introduction just one more time, and then we'll have everybody on. Again, we're dialing out to thousands of your neighbors right now, and we appreciate your patience as we get them all on the phone. This is a live telephone town hall meeting with Representative Frank Burns, representing you in Pennsylvania House District 72. We'd love to take your questions tonight, and you can press zero to give us your question, and you'll have a chance to ask that live. But we'd also like to get your email address if you're interested in giving us getting email updates from your representative. So if you'd like to give us your email address to get email updates on issues that are important to you, you can go ahead and push 7 on your phone. So again, it's zero to ask questions and 7 to give us your email address. We'll be running some survey questions, and you'll be able to vote on those using your touch-tone phone. We'd love to take your questions on issues like property taxes, spending, jobs, Buy American, E-Verify, anything like that, any questions that are that you think are appropriate to ask here in a call with your state representative. We'd love to take those questions, and all you have to do is push 0. We'll get you up to ask that question live. Again, you can push 7 to give us your email address, to get email updates from your representative. And you've heard enough from me talking. It's time to introduce Representative Frank Burns, representing you in Pennsylvania House District 72. Representative, please go ahead.
Well, I'd like to thank everybody for taking the time to be on this call tonight. It should be very informative. And this is our first time doing this, so please be patient with us, and hopefully you stick around for the entire call. It'll take about an hour, but like I said, it's going to be worth it, and it's going to be informative. A little bit about me. I've always been an independent-minded person. I try to be a voice of reason to reach compromise in Harrisburg, crossing party lines when necessary. I work with colleagues from both sides of the aisle to get things done. I pride myself on putting the people of the district before politics, and I've proven that I will work with anyone, Republican or Democrat, to make our region a better place to live. My hope for tonight is that we can learn from each other and that we can have an honest and frank discussion.
Thank you very much, Representative. Again, thanks everybody for being on our call. We'll get some live questions up in just a moment and have you folks ask them live. And again, you can push 0 to get in that queue to ask your question live during this forum. But we'll start with a question that we got in via email, and I'll go ahead and ask that on the emailer's behalf. So, Representative, the question is, why did you vote against the tax hikes the governor wanted? Can you go ahead and take that question on, please?
Well, I've always defended the taxpayers in my district. You know, when Governor Corbett was in office, I voted against the gasoline tax. When Governor Wolf was in office, I voted against his plan to increase the income tax, and I also voted against his plan to raise the sales tax. You know, in January, the gasoline tax is scheduled to go up another 10 cents. I sponsored legislation to repeal that 10-cent increase because I know people can't afford it. I know the people in my district simply can't keep shelling out money for taxes. And, you know, how can we raise taxes on all of you when corporations use tax loopholes that allow them to pay little or no taxes in Pennsylvania. I will stand up to anyone to make sure families in my district are being listened to. And the tax issue is a big one, because more and more families simply can't afford it.
Thank you, Representative Burns. And a reminder that if you want to get email updates from Representative Burns, you can go ahead and push 7 on your phone right now. Again, push 7 to get email updates on issues that are important to you. Again, you're on a live telephone town hall meeting with your state representative, so push 0 to ask a question, just like Ronald did. Hey, Ronald, you're our first live caller. Why don't you tell us what part of the district you're in, and then go ahead with your question, please, sir.
When you say district, what do you mean? I'm in Upper Yoder Township in
gotcha.
Cambria County. Right. Okay, I gave my
question. Well, Upper Yoder is absolutely in the district for sure. I've represented Upper Yoder since 2008.
Okay, well, you're talking about taxpayers and the problem that we have with our situation with the pension crisis. I know in 2001 the legislators passed a bill that increased their pension by 50%. And they also passed a bill that increased the pension for state employees by 25%. But they made it retroactive, which seems kind of unfair because, for example, you take a teacher that retired in the year 2000. They got the old pension formula, which was working up to that time. And a teacher that retired in 2001 received 25% more in their pension. There was no rationale for that. It wasn't like we needed more teachers and we needed to somehow get teachers on board. But my question is there some way that you can address this to make it retroactive so that it's more fair?
Well, we've taken steps already to solve some of the pension problem and the pension crisis that Pennsylvania faces. You know, depending on who you listen to, the number could be as high as $50 billion that is owed to the pension system. The problem is that money is owed no matter what steps we take. Pennsylvania is on the hook for that money. All we can do is find ways to fix it moving forward. And what we've done just this year, I voted to pass legislation. It was a compromise. It said all new employees would go on to a 401k style system. Now, there was debate on whether we could do that to current employees. But the problem is it would wind up into a legal battle, and it would most likely be ruled unconstitutional, costing the taxpayers a huge bill fighting it in court. So the compromise was it's a hybrid plan where if you make over $50,000 and you work for the state, every dollar over $50,000 would go into a 401k system, and every dollar under $50,000 would stay in the defined benefit plan. You know, there was a lot of work that went into this, and I really think that's a great first step to solving our pension crisis. Another measure is it should go off base salary. Your pension should be calculated off a base salary, not overtime, so people can't spike their pensions in the final years of working so that they get actually more money than they deserve because they worked overtime for 2 years prior to their retirement. You know, school teachers could do this using, you know, money from coaching and things like that. But if we go off base salary, that's another simple step that could help alleviate some of the pension problems here in Pennsylvania.
Thank you very much, Ronald. Appreciate your question. And thank you, Representative Burns, for the answer. We've got a ton of people on the line right now, so we're going to go ahead and run our first survey question. So we want to know, for you folks who are listening, and you can vote on your phone, should Pennsylvania accept Syrian refugees? Press 1 if you think yes. Press 2 if you think no. And press 3 if you think yes, but only after they've been vetted and approved after rigorous government testing. So again, our question for you is, should Pennsylvania accept Syrian refugees? Press 1 for yes, press 2 for no, and press 3 if you think yes, but only after they've been vetted and approved after rigorous government testing. So go ahead and vote on that now. We'll have a few more polls for you. First, we're going to take our next live caller. We've got Marianne on the line. Marianne, whereabouts are you? And go ahead and tell us what your question is, too.
my question is about people on welfare. It seems like nobody investigates. It seems like it goes from one generation to the next generation to the next generation. And we're paying for this. We're paying for this. And that's what I can't understand. Why don't they investigate the welfare system? And maybe we'd have a better place in Johnstown. Johnstown's thinking.
Well, Marianne, I agree with you that we need to investigate some of these recipients of welfare a little further. Basically, there's an 800 number. The government can't possibly monitor every welfare recipient. We got to rely on the public that if you see welfare fraud, if you know somebody who's committing welfare fraud, you call the inspector general. And they have a division that actually investigates this. I agree with you that welfare is a problem. I supported drug testing of welfare recipients. You know, if people have to get a drug test for employment, why shouldn't people have to get a drug test for claiming welfare? I also think, this is another one that goes unnoticed, is proof of citizenship. All welfare applicants should have to prove they are PA residents and U.S. citizens. And their photograph should be on the welfare card so they can't sell their welfare card or let someone else use it to claim the benefits. The photo ID will be on the welfare card so that when they use it, they have to verify that that's the person actually using the card. And look, I'm all for helping people who need help getting back on their feet. However, we must end the cycle of dependency on welfare programs to encourage people to seek employment. And I know this is a big issue for a lot of people in our district, and I've been an advocate for these types of changes to the welfare program.
Thank you, Marianne, for that question. And if you do suspect fraud, you can call the Welfare Fraud Tip Line at 1-800-932-0582 or 1-844-DHS-TIPS. So thank you, Marianne, for being on our call. We'll run another survey question after we take our next live caller. We're going to take Roxanne live next. Hey, Roxanne, you're up. Why don't you go ahead and
hello.
Tell us what part of the district you're in and go with your question, too, please.
Lower Yoder Township. And I was wondering, we keep hearing Buy America. I would like to, but clothing especially, I can't afford American-made. What should we do about that?
Well, I think buying America helps. There was a survey, and most of this stuff, when you hear Buy American, you know, clothing and everything, most of it is made overseas. But when we start making changes to this, the manufacturing of this stuff will start to come back to America. It'll be a lot easier to get American-made products. It's a little bit more complicated because if you go to Walmart, they don't have many things made in America. But the real key to bringing jobs back is buying products made in America. If we created an incentive for contractors, building contractors, to use American-made products, one report I read stated that if contractors use just 5% more of American-made materials when building, 250,000 jobs would be created. That's a significant number, and that's just one industry. That's in building contractors. So there's significant movement here if we can figure out a way to bring these jobs back to America. And I really think, you know, this is getting a little off topic here, but 3D printing, it's a new technology, fairly new, but it's catching on. And that is going to be the key to bringing jobs back to America. They're not so much going to be the same manufacturing jobs that we know in the steel industry and coal mines. However, it's still going to be jobs from overseas coming back to Pennsylvania and the rest of the country.
All right. Thank you very much, Roxanne. Appreciate you being on. Thanks so much for your question. Thank you, Representative Burns, for the answer. We're going to go to our next survey question, and then we'll be taking Joseph live. Our next survey question is this. Should schools be able to post the national motto, "In God We Trust," if they wish to? Press 1 on your phone for yes and 2 on your phone for no. So again, do you think schools should be able to post the national motto, "In God We Trust," if they wish to? press 1 on your phone for yes and 2 on your phone for no. And thank you so much for voting in those polls. We're going to have a few more. Remember, you can press 0 to ask a question live. You can also press 7 to get email updates from Representative Burns. So again, 7 if you'd like to get email updates. And let's go to Joseph live next. Hey, Joseph, you're live. Why don't you go ahead with your question, please, sir?
My question would be concerning real estate taxes for seniors, if Frank has any ideas on that. And the other would be, we seem to lose a lot of young people in this area after graduation, if he has any thoughts and ideas on maintaining the younger people in our area. And the fact that Frank works on both sides, I appreciate that, and I think it's a great help, and I feel he's a good representative for our area. So on those two concerns, I'd like to hear his thoughts. Thank you.
Well, thank you. First, I'll start with the property tax issue. There was a House Bill 76. It said, you know, we could eliminate property taxes. Who is not for that? Everybody would love to see property taxes eliminated. However, there's real concern on how to raise the money for it. So the bill called for a raise in the income tax and a raise in the sales tax to eliminate property taxes. What happens there is it may sound good at first because you eliminate property taxes, you shift it to another tax. However, what happens in 10 years or 5 years when the government needs more money because they seem to have an insatiable appetite to spend more? So what happens when they need more money? They're going to go back to a tax on property. So there's nothing in that bill that prevents that from happening, and that's my biggest concern with House Bill 76. The other thing that happened with property taxes is casinos were supposed to reduce property taxes, right? The problem was they overstated the money that was expected from the casinos, so that when people got their rebate from the casino money, it was next to nothing, or the school boards raised taxes, and they didn't see the true benefit of casino gaming offsetting property taxes. Then they legalized table games. Now, I was in office when they did this, and I wrote an amendment that passed the House. It stated that all proceeds from table games go to property tax relief. Unfortunately, in the Senate, they took it out. So, you know, we constantly have to keep looking at ways to reduce the cost to property owners. And one way is to look at education. How do we reduce education cost? In our area, we have some schools graduating 39 kids a year. They're very small schools. You know, what we could do, a simple fix that I think most people would agree on, is looking at consolidating the administrative offices in all the schools, so that there would be one superintendent for the county instead of each school having a superintendent making over $100,000 a year. Then you could do that with the business managers, their secretaries. I mean, it could cost some jobs, but the savings in Cambria County alone would be over $1 million. So a recent study was done in western Pennsylvania, and it showed neighboring states, the average cost to teach a student in neighboring states was comparable to the size of ours, you know, the schools. The average cost was $9,000 per student. Here in western Pennsylvania, we're around $15,000 a student. So that's a huge difference. Now, I'm trying to identify right now where those cost savings are for these other states. Teachers make about the same amount of money, if not more. And I think it's in the contracts. It's in busing contracts. It's in food supplier contracts. It's in food management in the schools. Like, we have to look at how these other states are doing this and start implementing it in Pennsylvania. And, of course, nobody wants to talk about it, but somewhere along the line, people are going to have to make a choice to continue to pay these high property taxes or their willingness to consolidate schools. And I think we have to give them the proper information to make the right decision on a local level. You have to know how much your taxes are going to go up if you continue with what you're doing, and then see the savings if you were going to consolidate, so that people can make an informed decision about consolidation.
Thank you very much, Representative. Thank you, Joseph. Thanks. Appreciate you for being on and for asking both of those questions. Now, we had a question from John, but he didn't want to be live, so I'm going to ask his question on his behalf. John asked, why do Syrian refugees have to come here, and is there anything we can do to stop them? Can you take on that question, please, Representative?
Wow, you guys are asking the tough ones tonight. Back in November, I sent Governor Wolf an official letter asking him to reconsider his position on accepting Syrian refugees here in Pennsylvania. I've not heard back from the governor from my letter. He's not acknowledged it. I know he has it. And in that letter, here's where the real concern comes from. Because FBI Director James Comey testified before Congress that there were gaps in the data that was necessary to track and screen Syrian refugees. So it's a real threat when we don't know who we're bringing into this country. And, you know, here in Pennsylvania, there's been two incidents. One was in December, just a few blocks from the Capitol. The FBI arrested a man in Harrisburg for aiding terrorists. Then in January, a man was shot in Philadelphia, a police officer, no doubt, was shot in Philadelphia by a man who pledged his loyalty to the Islamic State. So we have to do, this is my belief, we have to do everything possible to protect the citizens in our own country first. I have no problem helping other people if we can ensure with 100% certainty that these Syrian refugees pose no threat to the people of this country. And that's where I stand.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that, Representative Burns. And thank you, everybody, again, for being on our call. I'll remind you again that you can press 7 to give us your email address. There are some people still in line to ask questions, but if you have a question you'd like to get in line with now, you can press 0 on your phone. And we're going to run another survey question for you before I take our next live question. We want to know, do you support the proposal to make assaults on police officers and correction officers a hate crime? Press 1 on your phone for yes, and 2 on your phone for no. Again, the question is, do you support the proposal to make assaults on police officers and corrections officers a hate crime? Press 1 on your phone for yes, and 2 on your phone for no. We've got one more survey question for you coming up in a minute here, but let's take our next live caller. Hey, Steve, what part of the district are you in? Go ahead with your question, please, sir.
I'm in Central Cambria. Actually, East Carroll Township, Cambria County. My question's about emissions on automobiles. We've got a real problem here. We're just one of the about 13 or however many counties that have to pay for emissions every time we get our cars inspected. We have 67 counties in Pennsylvania. My question has to be, why don't the rest of them have to pay emissions? And better yet, why isn't the emissions dropped altogether? Because you have all the out-of-staters coming into this county and throughout the state. Nothing's being done about their emissions. So what's the point in the emissions at all? And make sure we address that only about 13 or 17, I believe, somewhere in there, out of 67 counties.
Hey, Steve, believe it or not, we get this question quite frequently in our office, and I couldn't agree more that something needs done about this. This was put in place long before I was in office, and when I inquired about it, basically I was told that they did air quality studies in each county, and our county didn't meet the standard that somebody set for air quality. So if you didn't meet that standard, you had to put emissions on your cars, and you have to go through the testing and all of that, and it just costs more money, right? It's a mandate put on the general public. Because if you don't meet the emissions, you have to take the steps to meet the emissions. Then if you buy a brand new car that's efficient, you still have to pay when you get your car inspected for the emissions test. So there is legislation out there to correct this. It's just a matter of getting it for a vote. And in Harrisburg, a lot of these issues, it takes years and years of pushing to get something across the finish line. So What I promise you I will do is I will find out each and every county that has this emissions, and I'm going to go to those representatives, and together with them, Republican and Democrat, we will push to try to get a change in this. Because, quite frankly, it doesn't make any sense if you live on the border of Cambria County. Like, let's say you live down in the southern end of Richland Township, right next to Wimber. Wimber doesn't have it in Somerset County, but Richland does. It doesn't make sense. It was ill-conceived when they put it in, and I will do everything I can to try to change that, because I do think it's a regulation that shouldn't have been in place in the first place.
Thank you, Representative Burns. And thank you so much, Steve. Appreciate you being on the call and asking that question. We're going to go to our next live caller. We've got Brenda right away. Hey, Brenda, you're up. Why don't you go ahead with your question, please, ma'am?
My question is, my husband worked in the coal mines for 40 years, and it seems like the coal mines are really down, and he got laid off, and there was no extension for unemployment benefits, no help for these guys. It's just like they turned their back on all these coal miners, and I just wondered what's being done to help these guys.
Well, I can tell you I've been approached by a group of coal miners, and they gave me a packet of information with their concerns. You know, a lot of them are losing health care and things like that. I handed that packet to the governor so that he has it. I personally handed it to him. And we're going to do everything we can to help the coal industry. Just so you know, just this year, the legislature has passed a tax credit for the coal industry. It's a $4 per ton tax credit, and it will help the cogen plants around here. They're the ones that clean up the old bony piles, the old slag piles that you would see, the waste coal. They clean that up, make electricity with it, and there is actually grass and trees growing on these former bony piles. So they're doing really good work. It's a win-win situation because you're getting an environmental benefit out of it, and you're also creating jobs of the future. So I really think this 4 ton per tax could save hundreds of local jobs. And coal, I really believe coal needs to be part of the national clean energy platform. And I've reached out to, both candidates of the president so that coal jobs matter. I mean, we have to make that a priority to them because a lot of the regulations that are hurting coal are coming from the federal level. And on the state, we're doing everything possible to keep these jobs going because we know how important it is, especially in our region. And I do think there is a bright spot for coal. Eventually, the price of gas is going to go up, and coal will become more competitive. And we have really good owner-operators of coal mines here. Rosebud Mining has done an awful lot for our region. It's amazing what they're doing. There's just that Ehrenfield project over there. Then they got in Sidman, St. Michael there. You know, they put $10 million into a water treatment facility. So I really think coal is going to make a comeback. Unfortunately, now it's a little bit down, but we're going to keep fighting to bring that industry back.
Thank you very much, Brenda, for your question. Appreciate that very much. Thank you, Representative Burns, for your answer. And let's run our next poll question before we go on to our next live caller. We want to know, do you think should welfare recipients be required to take drug tests and prove American citizenship. Press 1 on your phone for yes and 2 on your phone for no. Again, should welfare recipients be required to take drug tests to prove American citizenship? Press 1 on your phone for yes and 2 on your phone for no. We appreciate you voting in those polls. Again, let's go to Linda live next. Hey, Linda, you're up. Go ahead, please, ma'am.
Hi. I'm from East Taylor. I would like to find out if you know any information about the natural gas coming up to our area. We've been hearing some rumors that that's a possibility coming real soon. Can you enlighten us on that at all?
I mean, when you say natural gas, are you talking about drilling wells or are you talking about out there in Jackson Township?
I'm talking about the natural gas, like people's natural gas coming up here for heat.
Okay. Well, I met with some residents in Jackson Township out there toward Wesley Chapel about coming out with a gas line. Now, people's natural gas, and I know other areas have inquired about this too because natural gas is cheap right now. However, you have to get enough people in your community to sign on to tap into the gas line. People's Natural Gas will run the line if they can get a return on their investment. Like, they're not going to do it for one or two houses that want it. They'll come in, they'll talk with everyone, and they'll tell you how many people they would need to get onto the system to run that line through your neighborhood. And if the numbers work, I mean, they're a for-profit company, so if they think they can make a profit, if there's enough people that would tap onto that line, then they'll do it. It purely comes down to dollars and cents, like if they can make a profit. Now, for the homeowner, a lot of times it means switching over. You got to switch, you know, your furnace and everything over to natural gas. So there is a cost associated to the homeowner, which could be a deterrent for people just signing on and saying they want this to actually doing it. So there's a lot of work for the local municipality to do before they run that gas line. And I have not heard that they are planning on doing that. I know I've met with a group of folks back at Wesley Chapel Church to discuss it a while back. However, I haven't heard anything about it moving forward.
Got it. Thank you, Linda. Appreciate you being on the call. Thank you, Representative. Appreciate that answer. We've actually been going for about 30 minutes here, and we do have some more questions to take from our live audience. But Representative Burns, I wanted to give you a chance to talk real quick about the Senior Fair and the Firearms Rights Seminars that are coming up. You had wanted to tell folks about those upcoming events. Why don't you go ahead?
Yeah, we have a Senior Fair. We hold it every other year. It's September 8th at 11 to 2 p.m. at the Evansburg Community People's Center, and it's on 300 Prave Street. So it's the Young People's Community Center in Evansburg. We have 30 vendors already confirmed to be there. There's free food, there's games, there's prizes. It'll be a lot of fun, and it's a great way to get the information that seniors need. And there'll be different agencies there that you could ask questions to and get the answers right there from the people that run the agency. Our next event is October 5th, and it's a gun owners' rights seminar. We get an awful lot of questions about the concealed carry, about the Castle Doctrine, about, you know, what their rights are as gun owners. So we're going to hold a seminar October 5th from 6:30 till whenever, 6:30 to 8, something like that. It'll be at the Jackson Township Volunteer Fire Company, and that's 176 Adams Avenue in Jackson Township. And we hold these events just to keep people informed about what's going on and about the updated laws.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Representative. Let's go back to our live audience, but I'll remind folks you can press 0 on your phone to ask a question live. This is your last opportunity to press 0 to get in with a question. And you can press 7 to give us your email address, and we won't be able to collect it after we've ended the call, so make sure if you want an email update, you press 7 on your phone right now. Let's go to Ed live next. Hey, Ed, you're live. Go ahead, please, sir.
Well, my name's Ed. I live in East Taylor Township. We have a serious drug problem here in Cambria County, and by giving Narcan to police officers and first responders, seems to be promoting drug use rather than being a cure and help them to get people off drugs. So what is your proposal in order to stem this drug problem?
Well, Ed, Narcan has been controversial issue because, you know, you're helping them to stay alive, right? Like if somebody overdoses and you can give them Narcan, would you do it? And my response would be, if somebody's dying in front of me and I have a chance to save their life, no matter what the cause of death is, I would do it and give them another chance at recovery. I know the odds of recovery are slim, but we have to give people that chance. And I know the drug problem is a major issue in our area. Heroin is out of control. But let me tell you who does heroin. It's 4 out of 5 new heroin users start by misusing prescription drugs. a drug that a doctor prescribed to them. That's how the people were getting hooked on heroin. You know, I've been a sponsor of the Push Out the Pusher program since its inception. And basically, it offers a reward. There's a phone number you can call. If you know somebody dealing drugs, you call that number, and if that person's arrested, you will get a reward. And the maximum reward, we just raised it this year, is $8,000. And to date, we have somewhere around 400 arrests just from that tip line. So we've done a lot to curb the problem. It's just the problem's so big, we just have to keep working at it. And how we do that, we have to start educating kids at an early age about the dangers of these drugs. And you know, people turn to drugs because they've lost all hope. And I really think if we can turn our economy around, we could provide hope for the young people in our region, and maybe that'll help keep them off drugs as well. In the meantime, everyone out there, you got to talk to your kids. Don't be afraid. You have to drill it and instill it into their heads that if you do heroin, you're going to die, because that's what happens. There's only two things that can happen. You're going to die or you're going to go to jail. So, you know, God bless everyone out there, and you have to fight for your family and fight for your kids and keep them off drugs. And, you know, just here's another thing I've done. You know, I introduced a resolution urging Congress and at the federal level to rescind a rule that allows doctors to prescribe Oxycontin to 11 to 16-year-olds. They're just kids, and they're getting prescribed a narcotic that is so powerful that if you just take it once, you can become addicted. And we have to do everything we can to protect our region and protect the kids in our area. So I hope I answered your question there. I'm a little passionate about that issue.
Yeah, thank you very much, Ed. Appreciate you bringing up that topic. And thank you, Representative. Appreciate it. We're going to go to another caller. And actually, here, we've got a question from Vicki, who's in our listening audience. She wants the results of the poll. And I was actually just about to read those, so let me get those out to you now. I'll read the first poll result, and then we'll take some more questions, and I'll read them as we go. So our first poll question we asked you was, should Pennsylvania accept Syrian refugees? 57% of you said no. 38% of you said yes, but only after they've been vetted and approved. And 5% said yes with a less rigorous approval process. So, again, the results of that, should Pennsylvania accept Syrian refugees? We had 57% say no, 38% said yes, but with stringent vetting and approval, and then 5% said just yes in general. So we appreciate you voting on all of those polls, and we're going to go to another live caller. Let me get Rita up live next. And Rita, you've got a question that kind of pairs with a question we got in via email, which is, why do lawmakers get so many perks? So maybe you can ask your question, and we'll pair it with that, and we'll get an answer from Representative Burns here.
Okay. There are so many people complaining about the lawmakers giving themselves raises when they want them, such as this cost of living. And the readers form, right, they get letters upon letters, and nothing is done about it. And I kind of feel that it's up to you people doing this, to say to the other people, we could not do this to our taxpayers. They cannot afford it. They can hardly afford to live anymore. And this has just got out of hand. And another thing I would like to make a remark about is we have so much corruption in our government, and I think we're next to California has more than we do, and we're the next one down. We have to get rid of these corrupt people that we have in office, and you insiders know who they are. We know too, but we can't do anything. I have tried. You do know. It's up to you to get them out of there.
Well, Rita, I think you had a two-part question there, and I'll speak to the perks, and then we'll talk about corruption. Let me start by saying you brought up about pay raises. That was built in before I was elected. Legislators get cost of living increases. you know, there's been legislation out there to repeal it. It doesn't gain much traction for obvious reasons. But I want you to know, I donate my pay raise every year to local charities. So any pay raise I get goes right to local charities and, you know, local organizations to support the community locally. You know, my first year, I wrote my check back to the Department of, back to the Treasury. So we got a raise, I wrote it back to the Treasury. And then I realized I just sent that back to the Treasury, and then who knows where that money's spent. They could move that money to Philadelphia. So we're better off keeping the money here. So what little, you know, money I can spread around, I do. I also like to talk about, I don't take a car. I don't take a state car, nor do I take a state cell phone. I pay my own cell phone bill. You know, we have an office in Patton. Now, we wouldn't have that office if I didn't reach into my own pocket to help cover the cost of that lease. So there would be no office in Patton if I didn't help pay for it out of my own pocket. You know, there was a long budget delay this year. You know, I voluntarily refused to take a paycheck during that budget delay. And then I sponsored legislation so that no legislator would get paid if the budget wasn't passed on time. So since being elected to office, we've estimated that my office has saved taxpayers roughly $137,000 by being prudent. I'd also like to note that, you know, as many legislators have other jobs, they're attorneys, they're insurance salesmen, they sell real estate. I'm a full-time legislator. This is my job, and I work very hard for all of you and this region.
Appreciate that, Representative Burns. And June, we appreciate your comments as well. Did you want to take June's comments on about corruption as well?
Oh, sure. I mean, corruption's nothing new to politics. You know, if you go back through history, there's always been corruption in every decade. And as far as me knowing where corruption is, I don't know until it starts to happen. I find out it's not like you know somebody's a crook. You know, once they get caught, that's when you find out. So the assertion that I would somehow know who's corrupt and who isn't, I mean, I know people who push the limits, but I don't know if they're actually breaking the law. And you know, to assert that, you know, I would be at fault for not reporting it, I guess. However, you know, I share the same frustration, because I'm not corrupt, but yet every time somebody sees somebody getting in trouble on TV and in the newspapers, I get lumped in with them. So, you know, I take it personal when these people do this stuff, because what happens is Frank Burns, he's just like them. But nothing could be further from the truth. I work hard and I do the best job I can for the people I represent. And I'm willing to stand up to the governor and anybody else to make sure families in my district are being listened to.
Thank you, Frank. Appreciate that. And thank you again, June. Appreciate your comments. Let's go to Ann right away live next. Oh, Ann, actually, let me have you hold on for just a minute. I promised folks that we would read the results of another poll. So we asked you, should schools be able to post the national motto, "In God We Trust," if they wish to? 95% said yes. And 5% said no. So, again, our question was, should schools be able to post the national motto, "In God We Trust"? 95% said yes, and 5% said no. So thanks for voting in that. We'll have some more poll results in a moment. Ann, you're live. Go ahead, please, ma'am.
Mr. Burns,
yep.
I live in Lower Yoder Township and have since the early 80s. And I've left Johnstown, came back. And when I came back, I came back to a city that's deplorable. I think my question pretty much could have been, probably was answered by a few of your other callers, but I'm still wondering why the smaller communities in and around Johnstown don't start considering to consolidate consolidate with the schools, with everything that it takes to make it all happen. Is there some way that that could possibly happen? You know, bringing the communities, we'll just throw one out there, maybe Woodville community. Bring it in under the umbrella of another community. This is pulling resources together. This would help the seniors. It would help the business owners. It would help everybody. Is that a possibility?
Hello?
Hello?
Are you still there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll attempt to answer your question. Well, actually, just to clarify, Woodville is a section of Johnstown. But at one time, I mean, I don't know this for sure, but I believe at one time that may have been a separate borough and then maybe joined Johnstown. But I get your point. So let me address it. What happens is I live in the Conemaugh Valley School District. They attempted to consolidate East Taylor, East Conemaugh, Franklin, Daisy Town, and Cover Hill. Consolidate the whole school district. And what happened there was, you know, Conemaugh and Franklin had debt. Well, East Taylor didn't. So the people in East Taylor said, well, we don't want to join them because they're in debt and our tax dollars are going to have to pay to fix their infrastructure.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't viewed as the overall goal. It was viewed parochial. You know, everybody was concerned about their own little municipality. So that's a challenge we face. But eventually, if we can get communities to start sharing services, you know, if four communities go together and get a backhoe, then they all can use it because you're not going to use a backhoe every day. So they could share some of the equipment, shared services. You see it happening with fire companies, volunteer fire companies, and police stations. And eventually it's going to happen. Eventually consolidation is inevitable for small communities that I represent anyway. With budget shrinking, there's not going to be an option because they're not going to be able to tax enough to maintain. And hopefully it could be a smooth process. And I think the real key right now, let's start consolidating services, shared services, and a regional approach. So instead of every municipality building a playground in their area, maybe four or five of them can get together and build a centralized one. You know, and that would help create efficiencies in government that we're looking for. And the same thing goes for schools. We already talked about, you know, the possibility of, you know, schools merging superintendents and having one administration for all schools in the county. I think that's a great first step.
Yeah, I agree, because this would certainly help the taxpayers, because when you're paying that school tax, and, you know, I don't know where it goes, you know, because just like the road taxes that we pay, I look at my road and wonder, where did the road tax money go? When you pay that county and road, my road is still deplorable. And it just makes me wonder, you know. And your previous caller about this so-called corruption, I don't know. I know it starts at the federal level, but eventually it all ciphers down to the other levels. And there's not people like you. I wish there were more people like you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you saying that.
It's deplorable. Because you go to the meetings in your community and you get the most ridiculous answers as though you don't have half a brain to think about what they just said. And it's just, it's stifling.
Well, I think if you work together with your local municipalities, I know a lot of people, they only go to those meetings typically when they're angry. But I think if you work together with them and you know, we have a lot of smart people in our region. And if we work together, I really think we can overcome a lot of our obstacles and a lot of problems that we face, because I really believe, you know, where we live, we've been surviving all this time. We're survivors, and I really think if we work together, we can overcome these obstacles and become a community to be proud of again.
Thank you very much, Ann. Really appreciate being on our call, and thank you, Representative Burns. Results of our third poll, we asked you, do you support the proposal to make assaults on police officers and corrections officers a hate crime? 85% of you said yes, and 15% said no. We'll have the results of our last poll in just a moment. First, we've got Al live next. Hey, Al, thanks for waiting so long. We appreciate it. Go ahead with your question, please.
Mr. Burns, this has already been addressed as real estate or property tax, and I just wanted to make a comment that what seems to be happening, I'm in a small community of Crescent, and I see a lot of older people work all their life to finally own a home. They end up on a fixed income, and eventually they have to leave their house and move into a smaller community home of some sort because they can't afford to live in that house that they lived in all their life. And right now I'm age 60, and I would like to retire soon, and I feel that there's a good chance that could happen to me. I built my house. It took me 10 years, paid tax on every window door that went in, and now I'm asked to pay tax every year for the school system. You have some good ideas. And I would think that a sales tax could replace, and then schools would need to budget according to the money that's available. Like I said, I think you have some good ideas. I'd like to just see it move forward.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, the trouble with the sales tax is, and it's, they can't do budgeting off a sales tax because during a recession, people buy less stuff. So they could budget and then have a huge shortfall because they were basing it off sales tax. Then a recession hits and people buy less things and the money's not there. So you have to have the income tax part of it as well as a steady flow of revenue. Even in a recession, people lose jobs, so that could even take a hit. And that's why I worry about the complete elimination of property taxes, because when that happens, they'll come back and tax properties again. Now, I addressed this a few years ago, and I tried to get support. It didn't gain much. But I'm gonna revisit this because I believe it will work. It's a property tax freeze for seniors, so they're not gonna eliminate it. We've already tried that. It doesn't seem like that's gonna happen. However, I think if we could freeze property tax for seniors, at least they won't lose their homes that they put their life fortune in and thought that was gonna be their nest egg, and safety is having that home. And if we can do a property tax freeze, now where does the money come from for a property tax freeze? If we legalize video poker machines in bars and clubs, this would provide enough money to freeze property taxes for at least 10 years. So as seniors get older, they won't pay property taxes in their home, or well, they'll pay property taxes, but they won't see those increases because the gaming revenue from the video poker in bars would make up for the difference of increases in property taxes for senior citizens. So this would provide an incentive for seniors to stay in their homes rather than, you know, move out of state or other things that they're doing, or just completely losing their homes because they can't afford it. Something has to be done. And I proposed that a few years ago, and I'm going to revisit that and push for that again.
Thank you very much, Al. Really appreciate you coming on with that question, and appreciate you waiting so long to ask it. And we have the results of our last poll here as well. We asked, should welfare recipients be required to take drug tests and prove American citizenship? It was 98% said yes, and 2% said no. So we appreciate you voting in all those polls. It's always helpful to know what folks are thinking out in the districts. Thank you so much. Appreciate that very much. And we've actually just about run out of time in our hour-long teletown hall. So we have some folks who still have questions out there. What you can do is stay on the line until we close out the call in just a few minutes here. And when we close out the call, you'll have an opportunity to stay on, leave us a voicemail message. Just by staying on the line, you'll be prompted to press 1 on your phone, and you can leave us a voicemail message. And if you want, Representative Burns' office to get back to you. Make sure you leave your question or comment that you'd like him to get back to you on, and you need to leave your contact information, so a phone number or an email address so that they can get back to you. So again, thank you so much for your participation. Really appreciate it. Stick around and leave us any voicemail messages, and if you need somebody to get back to you, make sure you leave contact information, and I'll give the last word to Representative Burns. Go ahead, please, Frank.
Well, I want to thank everyone for staying on the line and listening. I hope you've learned something. But most of all, I want you to know our office is open to you. If you ever have an issue, come into our office. If you have a question or concern, give us a call. We're easy to talk to. We're there to serve you. You know, we represent you, and we're your voice in Harrisburg. So if you have concerns, please reach out to us. That's what we're there for.
Thank you very much, everybody. Have a great night.